A Max Original, a Harpo production, in association with Warner Brothers Pictures. The Color Purple set, Whitesburg, Georgia, spring 2022, a film crew mills about outside a rural home. Oprah stands with Danielle Brooks.
So good, rejoiceful.
Hey, you want to go through the curtain one more time?
No, thank you.
Not one more time? Oh, you just did one it. Time.
You did it.
Yeah, I think you should, just one. You told Harpo to feed me. One more time for me, please.
Come on.
Okay. Okay, want to do it together?
Oh, okay. Together? Okay.
Ready, together. Okay. Ready?
All right.
You told Harpo to beat me.
Ooh! Woo.
All my life I had to fight. Had to fight my daddy, my uncles, my brothers, and my cousins, too.
But I never, ever
thought I'd have to fight in my own house.
Let them know.
And don't you forget it.
Like the color purple.
The title appears, The Color Purple. Actors dance in woods, a ballroom, and by a waterfall.
The Color Purple has been the sweetest of journeys for me. I am so proud to be one of the producers of a bold new reimagined film with a spectacular all-star cast coming to movie theaters on Christmas Day. Color Purple family, every one of you has been chosen from something that we all know is divine.
Alice Walker!
We're still doing it, can you believe it?
The Color Purple began as Alice Walker's Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, inspired by her life experience growing up in the South. The book sold over 5 million copies worldwide and is the foundation for various adaptations of the main character, Celie's epic story.
Everything done to me.
Already done to you. Steven Spielberg's 1985 landmark movie captivated theatergoers and was nominated for 11 Academy Awards.
Until you do right by me, everything you think about is gonna crumble.
Don't do it, Miss C. Don't trade places with what I've been through.
That film was my acting debut, and the experience was one of the greatest joys of my life.
Steven Spielberg holds Oprah's hand in a photo.
In 2005, Scott Sanders had the wild idea to make The Color Purple into a Broadway musical.
Gonna boom, boom, right. I'm thankful for loving who I really am.
And a Tony-winning revival in 2015. Both shows brought audiences from all over the world to their feet.
And the Tony goes to The Color Purple.
Accepting the award for The Color Purple, producer Scott Sanders.
Celie and Nettie sit on the branch of a willow tree.
Now a new film is the next evolution of Celie's odyssey. A fresh, modern take on her path of sisterhood, self-discovery, courage, and triumph. It is a visual spectacle with heart-pounding, breathtaking performances for a whole new generation.
Hail, no.
I'm taking you along with me on the set of the film to experience all the passion.
Every time you walk in, you bring it.
Thank you.
I don't know how you're doing it.
The ancestors.
The joy and emotion.
Oh, don't make me cry.
And movie magic.
A group dances outside a church.
I'm also talking to the all-star cast.
It's so exciting.
The famous producers.
Sophia.
And the visionary director, Blitz Bazaroulet.
I always say this Color Purple is a reimagination, not a remake. This one's for our generation, the endless well that is the Color Purple.
You know, God loves admiration.
This incredible journey continues for me and for everybody touched by this inspiring story, The Color Purple.
I think it pisses God off if you walk past The Color Purple and not notice it.
Oprah sits for an interview.
The book is everything to me. On the day that the book was reviewed in the New York Times, I happened to not go to church that day, and I was at home in bed, too ill to go to church, but not too ill that after I read the review of The Color Purple in the New York Times, I put on a coat and my rubber boots, we called them galoshes at the time, and went to the bookstore to get that book. Went back home, got in bed, read it in one session before the bookstore closed that day, went back to the bookstore and got every book that was in the bookstore. And then I started handing out the book to everybody I knew.
I deliberately use and, you know, discuss things that I know, things that I have experienced, because I feel that the things that I have experienced and the things I know are the things I'm sure of in the world.
Alice Walker.
I think it's such an incredible thing to be Alice Walker, to have written that book and that book be so personal about people that she knew and telling the story of how a woman comes into owning herself and her fullness of empowerment, and to tell that one story and have that story become a film done by Steven Spielberg, and that story become a classic, become an empowerment vehicle for a lot of people's lives. And then to have Scott Sanders come along and create the musical, to have it move through generations and various involvements, it all started with that written word.
In a photo, Alice grins with her hands crossed over her chest.
The first time I read The Color Purple, I felt that I had come home to myself, to a story that was about me. Dear God, I'm 14 years old. I've been a good girl. Please explain what's happening to me, was my story. I'd been really secretive. Nobody else in my life knew that I had been sexually abused as a young girl. Nobody knew that I had had a child at 14 as a result of the molestation. So to be reading a book where somebody is being molested by a family member and has the child taken away, in my case, the child died, I was just out of my mind. I couldn't believe that there was a story that represented my own life experience in print, in a book, by Alice Walker. So for me, the desire to be a part of The Color Purple and to be affiliated with it in any way, I never imagined that I would be acting in the movie because I wasn't an actress, but just the experience of being around Alice Walker, Quincy Jones, Steven Spielberg every day was life-altering for me.
Oprah sits with Spielberg.
It's been almost 40 years since we were down in North Carolina filming your version, which I call our version, our version of The Color Purple. And we never talked about what actually made you say yes to that story. What drew you to the story?
Well, you know, I said no, principally because I thought that Quincy should hire an African-American or a black director for it. I was very self-conscious about that. And then Quincy appealed to me on various levels.
He said, don't you think a black director should be directing this? I said, did you have to go to Mars to do E.T.?
I think that's so good.
But once I committed to it, I was completely involved in the story.
Well, for me, you know, it is completely full circle to be sitting here with you. I have never wanted anything more than I wanted to be in that movie, The Color Purple.
On the AM Chicago talk show, a younger Oprah speaks to a studio audience.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Oprah Winfrey, and welcome to AM Chicago. Just want to
Quincy came over to see me, and Quincy said, you got to look at Oprah Winfrey. She has a local Chicago talk show, and he brought me some of your shows.
Wow.
This is before syndication.
You said to me then, your future is so bright, it burns my eyes. I'll never forget that moment long as I live.
That's right.
I knew instantly that you were Sophia. Instantly. And that's when I said to Quincy, can we get her here?
I'm Oprah Winfrey, praying and testing for the part of Sophia.
And so when you came in, you read for me.
I'm getting sick and tired of you telling me how to behave, Harpo, because I ain't none of your child.
One of the happiest days of my life.
And mine too.
I ain't gonna let no man beat me. No man, no woman, and nobody. Ain't nobody messing with Sophia.
Good.
You still have your television talk show and everything, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I'm a talking fool, Harry.
What'd you do? Take a leave of absence to do
that? I did. I took a leave of absence this summer. I'm grateful to have the kind of managers that let me do it, and they let me take some time off the summer to do it. Well, if they hadn't, I would have given up my career in television.
Really?
Oh, I would have. If they had said, no, you can't do it, I was prepared to say, okay, well, I'll have to find something else to do when this movie's over. I was going to do this movie or else. Really. I mean, really.
You know what it said to me? It said, dreams really do come true. Yeah.
You look lovely, Miss Seeley.
Thank you.
I never wanted anything in my life more than I wanted the role in The Color Purple. I was seen on television and auditioned for it and waited 2 months. And then I'd gone to this health farm to try to lose weight. So I remember being at this health farm, running on the track, saying to the divine, God, I surrender it. I was singing that song. I surrender all. I surrender all. And crying because I finally realized I'm not going to get it. I thought I was going to get it. I never wanted anything more in my life, but I'm not going to get it. And my life is going to go on, and I'm going to be fine. And God, what would you have me do now? That was my prayer. The instant I let it go. The instant I let it go, I swear to you, I'm going to cry. Somebody came and got me on the track, and they said, Steven Spielberg is on the phone for you. The instant I let it go.
I heard the story later on that you had gone to lose weight.
Yeah.
And you had gone to this
fat farm.
Yeah. And I said to Quincy, she can't lose a pound.
And he said, I hear you're at a fat farm. If you lose a pound, you may lose this part. So I stopped at Dairy Queen. On the way out, just to be sure.
Sophia is a big girl.
She's a zoftic woman,
In Alice Walker's vision of Sophia, she's a zoftic woman.
Yes. And then along comes Scott Sanders, in 2005, so we did this in 1985, and then 2005, he comes along with the idea for a Broadway musical. I remember when I first heard that he was producing a Broadway musical, I was like, how are you gonna make a musical out of The Color Purple?
I remember this whirlwind of Gail coming to see the reading, and the next day, my cell phone rings, and hi, Scott, it's Oprah Winfrey. I hear The Color Purple musical's good. How can I help?
Come on up here and gather around. I want you to meet our newest producer of The Color Purple.
Oprah steps into the room for the Broadway rehearsal.
Our marquee had not gone up yet. We did not have a theater. So suddenly you come on board and I get a call and said, hey, we want to put the cast on the Oprah Winfrey show. And we desperately needed some sales.
Singing Hell No is Felicia Fields and the cast of The Color Purple.
And the Oprah show airs live from 4 to 5, and the telecharge phone lines and online ticket buying system blew up because there was so much demand coming for the show
that
they had to add more broadband to the telecharge site in order for us to accommodate the ticket sales.
I did not know that.
The cast performs on Broadway.
That darn Oprah show. Don't go.
It was the best.
Nothing like it.
At the Broadway show, Oprah joins the cast on stage. She tears up as she embraces one of the actresses.
So, you know, for years, Scott was saying, this should be a film, this should be a film, the musical version. And we were all blown away by the director, Blitz's vision for it.
Blitz strums guitar.
Blitz Bazuwule was born and raised in Ghana and is a multi-talented artist, rapper, music producer, and novelist. He also co-directed the dazzling visual album Black is King with the queen bee herself, Beyoncé.
He showed me some storyboards, which I thought was fantastic. And I just thought he was the greatest choice to direct this. I really did.
And so she does her dance.
Yes, Steven Spielberg has been an incredible sport and just an incredible wealth of knowledge and experience in this project. the first thing he told me is, yeah, it's your baby. It's yours now. You have to figure out how you're going to craft it.
We'll do it again. She'll back out.
You almost can't remake it. It's impossible. For me, it was important that we examine the elements that are current elements of abuse, physical and sexual. The world is just a lot more specific about how we define each other. So this Color Purple to me is about the now, and I think that's a huge testament to the endless well that is the Color Purple, that every generation can come and find a little bit of Celie in their time, and they can tell that story.
A lot of women have come over to me over the years, and not just black women, but many women have come over to me to express how that movie moved them so much. I've also gotten some sidelong hostile glances from some men who were a little bit put out with me.
I vividly remember the NAACP protesting. I remember them standing outside the Oscars when we went in protesting, and then protesting when we came out because we didn't win anything, which was like, you can't have it both ways.
Right.
So everybody was upset with the Mr. character.
Well, the Mr. character was Alice Walker's vision of that era and of relationships, not relationships in general, between black men and black women, fathers and daughters, husbands and wives. But that specific idea of a man who essentially marries to be able to hire indentured labor into his home and to have his way with her because of his ownership, not because of any feeling between them. Mm-hmm. And to do all of that, he took the thing that meant the most to Celie, which is her sister Nettie. And because Nettie resisted his advances, he physically tore the sisters in half.
Yeah.
I mean, it was brutal. And I understand reaction, because in that sense, the dominant male in that family, who learned from the dominant father in his experience.
Yes.
Who probably learned from his own father.
Absolutely.
You know,
it just was passed on.
It was just passed on.
Yeah.
Get off my land!
Nettie sprints away.
Mister's a hurt guy who's hurting people. And myself and Mark, as our writer, talked at length about not just Mr., all characters, making sure that everybody's arc was complete and was human, and no one was one-dimensional.
Nothing but that can keep me from it.
Marcus sits with Oprah.
Get off my land! You ain't never gonna hear from again!
Mr.'s a tough guy to make complex, but you were able to do that.
You know, when you read the book, it's always been there. That man has always been there. And what we've done in this film, which I'm quite proud of, is we found those quiet moments where you sit with him and you see his humanity. It's still the Mister that everybody remembers, but now we're seeing some of those private moments with him and we see more complexity with the character.
Mm-hmm. That he isn't just one thing.
That's right, he's many things.
Evening.
Coleman Domingo, Mister.
Hate to bother you.
Marcus Gardley took great strides to make sure that the men were very complex and you understand they were very human and you understand why hurt people hurt people.
It's time to go.
You're gonna let me finish my water first.
So he's not just the villain, but he's someone who is broken. And you can explore that. And that is part of the key to healing for all the characters.
Rain beats down on Mister as he lies on the muddy ground.
When you heard you got the role, what was the thing you were so looking forward to?
I think it feels very spiritual. It feels like you said, it's part of a family. I feel like I'm a part of this long lineage of people who have passed on to me to tell our story.
Yeah.
And knowing, and with Blitz's vision as well, you feel like it's something bigger.
Yeah.
What happened to you?
Mister sits on a porch.
No, I was just kicked by a mule.
Corey Hawkins, Harpo.
Was this mule wearing a dress?
Hey, you're killing it too.
Coming from you, I'm
it's true. You're so powerful, even when you're silent.
Thank you. That means the world.
What are you feeling?
It just feels like God, you know, like the right thing came at the right time. And why you guys chose to bring this back at this moment in our lives, in our careers. And I just know it's going to touch people the way it should. And all we got to do is get out of the way and let the words.
That's what I feel too. You know what it is? There's a joyfulness and there's a pride and there's a hopefulness about it that's really great.
And it's our story. And it's been, you know, it's one generation to another generation, to another.
No, it's a whole other generation. I pass it on.
Thank you so much. We love you.
All right. All right. Pass it on. Love you.
Okay.
And how did you approach writing the women? Obviously, you were surrounded by powerful, black women in your own life, because that comes through.
Come on.
Come on, Marcus Gardley.
I'm writing the women that raised me. When I was writing this movie, my grandmother, who just passed away, she was 104.
Oh, my
goodness.
And
so her voice was constantly in my ear while I was writing these characters.
So there was Whoopi, there was Margaret Avery, there was me, of course, Akuso Bisiya, and Danny Glover.
Right. Radon Chong.
That's right. And now it's Coleman Domingo and Fantasia and Taraji and Danielle Brooks and her and Halle Bailey and Felicia Perlman Posse. The torch has been passed on. Yeah. What do you think of this cast?
I love this cast. This cast understands the juxtaposition of culture and history. Black culture, black history, cinematic history and culture as well. This cast has a whole other level of understanding.
Yeah.
And so they take even more responsibility for these characters they're playing.
Yeah. Because they have almost 40 years.
You got it.
Yes, since the original.
Right.
This one's for our generation. We owe it to ourselves to advance it and bring something new to it. We cannot recreate. We have to birth something new. And hopefully in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, another generation will come up and say, well, where Blitz took it and where Steven Spielberg took it was cool, but this is what we want to do with The Color Purple.
All right, let's go in for The Color Purple.
Okay. You walked onto the set, and it felt like what?
It felt like we have lived quite a few years and stayed true to a certain course of life.
Alice stands on set.
So that we could come back to this story, which is still so relevant to people's lives.
I still say to this day, and probably when I take my last breath, The Color Purple will be one of the greatest highlights of my life. That entire experience changed me in so many ways.
And it was extraordinary.
Yeah. It was an extraordinary time. And I would say, of all the events in my life, it had probably the greatest impacts. And now, all these years later, Seely means what in 2022?
Well, it means that I've watched a lot of women become free, you know, free to express their love, their sexuality, their spirituality.
Sophia, Sophia! Such a pretty name!
Miss Oprah! Isn't God so good?
Isn't God,
God is so good? I'm gonna cry.
Oh, don't make me cry.
The moment I saw Danielle on set the very first day, I became emotional because it was triggering in a very good way for me about the first day I was on set as Sophia.
Oh, I'm so happy that you're here.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, my God.
And I know it was such a life-enhancing, altering moment that I could just see this woman's life is about to change.
Okay, I didn't expect that. Oh, man.
I didn't either.
Gail King shows a recording of the dancers on her phone.
This little boy is Oprah when she got the role back
when
in the day.
I first got the role back in the day.
I know you remember that.
I'm still, I could still be dancing about it. I never wanted anything more than I wanted The Color Purple.
Oprah sits with Gail and watches as the cast dances.
And then I made sure I was there for the iconic,
"You told Harpo to beat me!"
"You told Harpo to beat me" scene, because that is the moment the baton gets officially passed.
I loves Harpo. God knows I do.
That's the line that people remember from nearly 40 years ago.
But I kill him dead for I let him beat me.
That people still are reciting that line to me. And I could imagine what a challenging moment that is to try to make that a different moment than one that everybody already has in their head. And so I just wanted to be there to support her for that.
My baby girl!
You didn't.
Danielle and Oprah embrace each other.
The baton is officially passed.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Danielle tears up and hugs Oprah again.
It is done, and it is well done.
I don't have any other words, but thank you. On so many levels, thank you.
I know what this means, I know.
I will say that thousands of women and girls throughout the world have responded to that line, a girl child ain't safe in a family of men. And that line gave so many people the courage to step up and do what they needed to do in their own lives, own their own sexual assault, sexual abuse. It's such a huge thing to take over, stepping into a role that's become so iconic for the culture.
I think if I hadn't gone on the journey of playing Sophia for a year on Broadway for 8 shows a week in front of 1,100 people a day, sometimes twice a day, I think I would have been a little shook. But I feel like God said, this is your moment. Mm-hmm. This is your time. This is ordained for you to do this role. Mm-hmm. And I had to step into that and do it wholeheartedly. And to be honest, you made it a little easy for me because I just followed your blueprint. You know, and just added a little flavor of my own to it. But yeah, to me, it's one of the most iconic.
It is.
Scenes of American cinema, for sure.
Absolutely. So, Hell No feels like an official anthem for a whole new generation.
All right, here's a rehearsal. Action.
Gotta get it right. It's in the fist, you know what I'm saying?
You remind me of my mama. Stephen Bray and Britta Russell, composers.
Another one to be super proud of.
Though. Yeah, I'm really proud of it because it was very good to write a song where a woman says, hell no, you ain't gonna hit me, period. That is empowering for a lot of women.
Danielle is fantastic, and she brings that song to life in a way that when she was in the theater on stage. The audience would just react like crazy. Because like what Brenda says, women have been wanting to say hell no. You know, some of them obviously have the strength to, but a lot don't. And so to kind of help that energy, I'm just very proud to be part of that team.
Oh, that's our fiance.
The thing that's so valuable about that scene is long before there was ever even a discussion on the Oprah show about sexual abuse, sexual molestation, domestic abuse, long before anybody was talking about it anywhere, we had that scene.
All my life I had to fight. I had to fight my daddy, I had to fight my uncles, I had to fight my brothers.
And that scene is what women all around the world related to.
Girl, child ain't safe in a family man.
It was a Me Too moment before there was a Me Too movement because for most people, that was the first public airing of that kind of thinking. Wow, it happened to someone else and it happened to me too.
You told me that what Maya Angelou told you about the 10,000 being that
voice. Yeah, I come as one. Right. But I stand as 10,000.
That's what you told me.
I come as one, but I stand as 10,000. So when you are doing that line, you are representing 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000 who've all come before you. And that's why I resonate so deeply, is because all of those thousands are seeing themselves through you.
Oprah squeezes Danielle's hand.
You brought so much joy and life to the character that I think people walk away from this film feeling a sense of triumph and delight. It makes me so happy.
I'm gonna fight for real. Love you, girl.
What's gonna become for me, and I know for many of you, is the moment when Sophia meets Mr. for the first time.
Stay then, Hoppo. But when you gets cold at night, you know good and well who heats up your bones.
And she turns and walks out the door and she says,
don't keep me waiting. It's bliss. It's amazing.
Danielle Brooks, excited for her. It starts first with deeply believing that these people are the right people for the role.
Now I come here out of respect. Respect.
You think those are gonna be the new moments for this generation?
Yeah.
But if there ain't nothing to get,
That show ain't none to give.
Oh, Sophia, come on.
I have to say, just 2 weeks ago, I was really going through it. And I said, you know, I'm going to take a walk. And I started listening to I'm Here.
Woo!
Oh, my gosh. And I listened to the Fantasia version when she was on Broadway. And just listening to the words. I'm gonna sing out. I believe I have inside of me everything that I need to live a bountiful life. That just got me.
I believe I have inside of me everything that I need to live a bountiful life.
It's a perfect song for women with low self-esteem because she says, I'm beautiful. And I'm here. And it's a great thing for young girls, women, all ages, to assert themselves that you're okay.
It's so much healing in these songs, and they will live on forever because they're about love, they're about joy, they're about picking yourself back up, knowing that you're beautiful, these foundational things that will keep us alive and keep us going.
We have Fantasia Taylor, who we've known as a phenomenal singer, and this will be her breakthrough role in motion pictures. I'm incredibly blessed.
How are you?
Fine.
I love your name.
Thank you.
How old are you?
19.
19?
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited to be here?
I'm very excited.
Yeah?
I'm very, very excited.
I think it's now your audition, what, almost 20 years ago for American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
The winner of American Idol 2004 is Fantasia Barrino.
Fantasia embraces Diane DeGarmo. Stage lights flash around her as she cries.
This is a full circle moment that you are now starring in The Color Purple, the starring role, number one on the call sheet. What does that mean?
For me, after all that I had to go through, it means God didn't forget about me. Because there were times where I felt that way. There were times when I felt, why are you going so hard? Why are you doing this? You might as well just pack it on up and go home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so much like Celie, I had no other choice but to keep going. Mm-hmm. Even when I didn't want to keep going, there was something in me that was just going,
yeah,
fighting.
It's so interesting because Whoopi has said that playing the role of Celie was so different for her, to allow Celie's pain to stand on its own because it was separate from her. Mm. You have had the opposite experience. You've said, I am Celie. So are you comfortable in talking about why?
Yes,
yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm Celie. I never thought I was beautiful.
Mm.
I was that little black girl with big lips. I had a gift. I knew I had a gift, but I never thought I was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Picked on, bullied, molested.
Mm.
At a young age.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
How young were you?
I was about 7, 8.
Mm.
So all of those things that I bury, when I step into Celie's shoes, they come back up.
Mm-hmm.
Education wasn't big in our home.
Mm-hmm.
Singing was.
Mm-hmm.
Get the song right.
Mm-hmm.
Sing it right.
Mm-hmm.
I never got in trouble for education, so it wasn't something that I focused on.
Mm-hmm.
So I lacked in a lot of different areas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I knew you were gonna make me cry.
I'm sorry.
I didn't know it was gonna be this early in the conversation, but okay.
Let's shoot one.
Open. Let's shoot one.
Let's shoot one.
Let's shoot one. Come on. Why let's shoot
last
one.
Last one. Snookers, please.
Daily Mark.
In a dress shop.
Look, I said, look. Are you looking?
We all looking, honey.
Look who's wearing the pants.
A dancer lifts Fantasia. She kicks her legs out.
I know, this is the first time I've seen such a big smile from Celie, isn't it? And the laugh.
And it came naturally, so I think for me, from the inside,
yeah.
Celie having that moment.
Yeah.
Of everything.
Coming together.
Yeah.
What was your impression before experiencing bringing Celie to life on Broadway? What was your feeling about The Color Purple before that?
You know, I was very young.
Yeah.
When I played Celie.
I know, you all were so young.
Yes. Very young. And my life at the time was a bit heavy, mm-hmm. and was a bit dark. And so playing that role for me was very, very heavy.
Mm-hmm. On stage, Celie and Eddie hug.
Scott Sanders said this to me, that when he first asked you about doing the Broadway musical, you weren't sure. You said you had to have a prayer about it. You had to pray on it because you weren't sure that you had what it takes. You did. For 8 shows a week. What was your prayer during the shooting of this film?
That God would allow me to go back and actually see something different this time. What I mean by that is, I'm healing. I'm working on myself. I do therapy. I journal. I won't allow my past to dictate my future. So I pushed a lot of things behind me. I'm married now, happy, beautiful man. I mean, beautiful man. Great to me and my children. He uplifts me, he builds me up. So a lot of those things in the past, I don't have to really dwell on anymore. But playing Celie, it had to come back up. So I wanted God to show me something different. And he did.
And he did.
And he did.
One of the things that I've heard you say about this film, and I believe it to be true, is that women will be healed. Women will be healed from the viewing of The Color Purple. Tell me why you think that.
I was healed. I was healed. We have a strength about us that sometimes we don't even realize.
You know, I always say this story is about radical forgiveness. It's about that being able to forgive others and yourself. We all can identify that matriarch who, because she survived and because she thrived, we're here. We don't wait to see the triumph in the last minute of the movie. We watch a woman, through her imagination, build her own world.
In the dress shop, Celie spins as she sings.
I hope that people are either reminded or learn the power of forgiveness, that it's something that we all should employ on a daily basis, and it's something that is for us, that forgiveness is really for us.
And for these young girls that are gonna watch it and see it, there's moments where you get pissed off, get mad. They're gonna not like a lot of the things that Mr. does or Mr. says or her father does to her. But in the end, when she comes out and says, I realize it's the simple things in life that I still have that I can hold on to that make me the woman that I am today. I'm thankful for loving who I really am.
Look at me. Look who's wearing the pants now.
Taraji P. Henson sits with Oprah.
Let's talk about Push the Button. I was on set for those days. It is a rousing, mesmerizing entrance. Now there's something about good loving. What you brought to it is like something none of us had ever seen. What were you channeling for Push the Button?
I mean, it's in the song. It's in the music. The writing is in on the page. It's there. You know, I just had to suspend my disbelief and give my body to Shug. Watch the juice begin to flow. I always feel like acting is sort of allowing this character to use your body as a vessel. So Taraji has to disappear, and I have to just trust the process. I did my homework. I know who this woman is. This is her life. Shug lives on stage. Once you put the wardrobe on...
I was just going to say, there's so many things going on, though. She's got the plumed feather headdress, the dress, the costuming, the hair.
It all helps.
It all helps.
It all helps.
Francine Jameson-Tanchuk, costume designer.
I started thinking about Shug Avery's Push the Button when I started working on the film. way back. And Blitz and I discussed it, and we know that the power color would be red. Red has a way of really influencing people and grabbing people in kind of a powerful feeling. And Suge is one of those characters that empowers herself with not only how she feels about herself, but also how she dresses. And the outfit was really important to make that happen. I would say an incredible team effort to put all of those hours and everyone's talent into building and making that costume on Suge and bringing her to life on screen.
Okay, here's the rehearsal, everybody. Ready? And playback.
Lawrence Davis, hair department head.
Keeping hair in place during dance numbers is a very difficult thing, and keeping hats on is a very difficult thing. We have a lot of tricks of the trade that we do. We do bands around the head first before anchoring the hats for those guys who don't have hair. Even for the ladies who have short hair, we have wigs that need to be secured and anchored, and then hats that are pinned into the wigs.
Right, everyone, here we go, here's the rehearsal. And playback.
I mean, literally, I watched you do it 88 times. What do you remember most from the filming of that scene?
I just remember in between takes sitting on the bar with ice on my knees.
Because that's what I was thinking. As a person with new knees, I was thinking, boy, your knees are going to be hurting tomorrow. Because every single time, you had to step up on that table.
Yeah, so in between takes, when they were changing the positions of the camera, I was icing my knees.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
How are you feeling about it all?
I feel good. It looks good.
It looks so good. I've been watching since the very first when you had the thop, thop going in.
Yes.
So by the time we're done, you would have probably done at least 100 takes of this.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I sing this song 24/7. It's just all I hear in my head.
That's all I hear in my head. That's all I hear in my head from watching you in the dailies. I get up in the middle of the night to pee, and it's push the button. I'm looking for my inner Suge.
Exactly.
I'm pushing the button.
No, it's so much fun. And the dancers and the background, it all helps.
Background actors stand outside the set.
We're a background for The Color Purple in the 1920s. What a juke joint scene.
They dance around the set of a saloon.
It was like going back in time. It's an ultimate experience.
A sign reads, "We appreciate your business, but no fussing, no cussing, no tussling." Oprah Music Paul D. Osterberry, production designer.
I am in total awe of every single piece of set design, set decoration. My favorite of all times, that jute joint at night, the Placid Swamp, which you all made from scratch. Tell us how that all came to be.
We went to this particular swamp because it was man-made. It's a dam lake for fishing.
Yeah.
So we drained it so that we could build it. It took quite a while, about 2 months. And then it took a couple days to fill it up, but we would keep topping it up overnight so we maintained the level. The swamp. Pretty spectacular.
All right, lock it up. Here we go, everybody. Settle.
I'm here with Dan Lawson. I have to say, the esteemed Dan Lawson, because every single scene is like a painting. And for you to be who you are with your background and to be able to light black skin this way is so incredible. And how does that happen?
I think the story is helping me to tell, to paint with the light and make everything so
painful. That's it. You're painting with the light.
I'm trying to paint with the light and write with the camera and help to tell the story.
Man sits by a camera.
On the page, this woman is sexually advanced. So short, gonna shock your mom. Make a man wanna break the law. They say it, and Suge Avery's coming to town in the song. She'll take your man, she'll take your woman. Bouncing in the bed, drinking all your gin, bumping in the shade. Lock up your men, your girlfriends. I mean, she is just someone who is comfortable in her sexuality, and you didn't really see that a lot in that time.
Right.
Suge Avery's coming to town. The dancers blew me away because it was like 3 or 4 in the morning, and they're dancing like they just woke up.
I know. You must be tapping into something. There's some sexual river you go into. It is so full of sex and sultriness.
I honestly believe that I was around. I think my soul was recycled, and I believe I lived during this time.
That's what's happening.
You know, and then my mom sent me to the South every summer.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's later. It wasn't this time period, but there's something about a Southern sexy woman that's different from a city woman.
You know what I mean?
Ain't it the truth?
Something very different.
Yeah. But every time you walk in, you bring it. Every single time.
Thank you.
I don't know how you're doing it.
The ancestors.
The ancestors. Amazing.
You have to rely on them.
Yep. They're all over this thing, aren't they?
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
One, two, three, four,
A large group practices a dance routine.
7, 8. Yeah, stay in there.
My name is Fatima Robinson, and I am choreographer of The Color Purple musical.
You two are here? Boom.
This is 100% a full circle moment to work on this film and bring the dance to life in this way. You know, when my mom came to me when I was young and said, you and your sisters have to come see this movie, I think that it's just so rare for generations to be able to come together and watch something so beautifully. My sister and I, we still send each other the hand patty cake thing if we have any friction with each other or like we miss each other. That's our thing that we do with each other.
Yes.
Fatima shows Oprah and others some dance moves.
Lift the wrist down.
A lot of dance is rooted in history and especially in our African history. So I can take pieces of what I know is African dance.
And then what do you do with your hips?
And that's rooted in even before this movie. And I can take that through my lens and figure out what it would be around that time.
Carol Rashid.
I am the makeup department head for The Color Purple.
But we're going back to this look.
We had to do aging for Coleman Domingo, who's playing Mister. That's a hard process to do. But you start by distressing the skin out, by taking some of the color out. You accentuate any type of marks that they have. And you just kind of make the skin look broken down and greasy and grungy.
That's kind of what we had before.
Oh, it's good, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Me and the boys, you was kind of thinking you might like to come and sing a little.
But if you can't, don't worry, because I got your voice, too.
Well, this is my girl, Squeak.
Oprah meets the artist, her.
From the moment you got the call, we were holding our breath that you would say yes.
I mean, it was an immediate yes for me. I was so excited.
Yeah, every time I've seen you on camera, you are so fully present. You are so there.
Thank you.
So I can see that you've done the work to be there in the scene.
Got your sewing machine. Shiny, clean, and a fitting room smell like sweet perfume.
What's it like when you're in the scene? Like in this particular scene, it's Taraji, yeah. It's Danielle, it's Fantasia,
yeah.
All of you women together.
You just see that female empowerment, that womanhood, that just sisterhood. That's to me one of the most important scenes in the movie.
I'm kind of all into it.
Okay. Yeah.
This will be the last day that her is in the movie. She's about to go out on tour, go to Europe and perform with Coldplay. So there's a lot of great energy in the room and on stage today.
When you enter into a new venture like this, something always happens, I think, spiritually, emotionally. Mm-hmm. You come out on the other side, having grown in what way, do you think?
I've gained so much confidence, not even just as an actress, but just as a woman, as a person, being here, and so much comfort. I feel like this was the best way for me to kind of start my debut.
I just want everybody to please join me for a picture wrap on her.
Oprah brings flowers to her as she stands before a shop facade.
Yeah.
Sorry I had to leave in such a rush, but, you know, this was like my debut film, and I couldn't have thought of a better project to start off with. And I've made some lifetime friends here, and I really do love you guys, each and every one of you. Thank you for everything that you do.
Actors gather under the willow tree.
Yeah.
Places, everyone, pictures up. All right, let's stand by.
Larry Diaz, set director.
The set decorator basically sort of sets the stage. The only thing that would be here was the tree. We kind of do concept drawings, come up with what the concept for the set is. I think when doing a period piece, there's always a level of difficulty just trying to source things that are still available that would fit into the time frame.
I just need to see this real quick.
in the final scene, the entire cast gathered around this ethereal tree. We called it the Angel Oak. What was it like for you to film that moment around the tree?
When you come from a big family, mm-hmm. where there can be a lot of chaos, drama,
uh-huh.
and then me being a mother,
yeah.
a young mother at that. I was 17 when I had my daughter. That moment for me was the moment that I hope. Where you can see communities come together, families come together. It can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And Seeley made it happen.
Picture is up. Let's get everyone in position.
To show this depth, I need someone to walk much closer to camera.
Yeah. This was a tree that mattered the most because it's where our girls open. This is where we first see Seeley and Nettie playing their age of innocence, you know, before we know all the things that will happen to them. I really wanted a tree that had its own spectacle, its own life. And so once I found the tree, I knew immediately that the tree we start is the tree we end in.
Dear sky, dear peoples, dear everything, dear God.
It reminded me of my family, because I have a huge family. We just celebrated my grandmother's 99th birthday, and we do this often. We will convene down in North Carolina where she lives. And so it literally took me to my family. Like, I just felt like I was home.
Like the color purple, where do it come from?
It is a real reunion. That end scene is more indicative of what the ultimate film is about than anything, because I think this film is about forgiveness and empowerment. Everything is symbolic of love, family, hope, triumph.
At tables around the tree, everyone holds hands and raises their arms.
Men.
Perfection.
And we cut.
I've now seen it like 6 times from 6 different angles, and I get emotional every time. That's a good sign.
Back to one.
I just wanted to say how proud I am that you all are here today. The kind of camaraderie and the love that is exuding from these grounds is because of the energy that you all have brought and because of the words that Alice Walker laid down for us so many years ago. So my heart is overflowing with gratitude. You bless us with your beings. Thank you so much for being a part of the Purple family.
People need to be in a room where they can all cry together and all laugh together and all hold hands across the aisles, even if they don't know each other. There's going to be a spiritual holding of hands. The movies bring strangers together. The movie theater experience is a great uniter.
I just don't know of any way to have a better full circle moment for someone for whom this was the greatest desire of my life, to be in The Color Purple, to now be able to bring this reimagined iteration to a new audience and a new generation is just about as good as it gets.
I mean, if you want to see something that's spectacular visually and a story that endures, this is it. Story with a moral that's unmatched. Story from struggle to triumph is one that we can all connect to and understand.
You know, I keep telling people, it's not your mama's color purple, but your mama gonna like it.
She gonna love it. She ain't gonna like it. She gonna love it. She gonna devour it.
Yes, you hear me?
Families will be healed. Women, men, children will be healed. Fathers will speak to sons again. Mothers will speak to their daughters again. People will be healed. So we'll be in the theaters, and God's gonna move through the color purple.
Oprah holds Fantasia's hand.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is a picture wrap. Everybody, appreciate you so much. Thank you so much.
Hey.
Oprah Pat splits on the cheek.
Good job.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Celebrate good times. Come on.
Under the tree, Oprah, Blitz, and all the cast members stands together. People record with their phones as everyone moves side to side. Everyone leans forward and back, then clap and sidestep in unison. Credits roll. Harpo Productions and Warner Brothers Entertainment, Inc. are the authors of this cinematographic or audiovisual work for the purposes of Article 15.2 of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto. Copyright 2023, Harpo Productions, LLC and Warner Brothers Entertainment, Inc. All rights reserved. Own The Color Purple in 4K Ultra HD and digital now. The Color Purple in select theaters now. Harpo Productions. Audio description by Point 360, written by Court Soto and narrated by April Watts.